And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, A Summer's Reading, was written by Joseph Mendel, adapted from the story A Summer's Reading in the book The Magic Barrel by Bernard Malamud.
The story begins with summer and ends with summer's end. But the climate of the soul has its own seasons, which do not flow in sequence like points in time, so that beginning and end are clearly seen only when the story is told.
George, I'm leaving now. Do you hear me, George?
I hear you, Sophie. I hear you. Do you make coffee?
Maybe you'd like breakfast in bed, since you're a gentleman of leisure.
Ah, Sophie, don't start that again.
You don't like to be reminded?
No.
Naturally. A boy of... What am I saying? A man of 20 shouldn't have to be reminded that his sister works to keep up the house. And believe me, I work hard for my few dollars.
I know.
And Papa, you were sleeping when Papa left for the market 5:30. Even if it's summer, it was still dark.
Don't you think I tried? The summer's a hard time to find work. All the high school kids are looking for jobs.
Maybe if you weren't so smart as to quit high school at 16, you'd have a diploma now and a job.
I've been working 3-4 years, off and on.
That's right. Delivery boy, stock clerk, helper in a factory. A few weeks, a few months, off and on.
I'm doing the best I can.
How do you know? No, don't tell me I'm going to be late for work. There's some coffee on the stove. Warm it up.
Sophie, I wonder...
George, what do you do in the house all day long?
Different things. Afternoons, I listen to the ball game on the radio.
Every day?
Whenever they play.
Don't you ever read?
Well, sure. I read a lot.
What? The picture magazines I find on the cafeteria tables when I clean them? The newspapers I pick up in the subway coming home?
Why not? I like to know what's happening in the world.
Do you ever read any worthwhile books?
Some.
For example? Well, never mind. I have to go now.
Sophie.
What? What, George?
Nothing.
I know. It's hard to ask somebody for money. Here. Here's a quarter. It's all I can spare. I don't get paid till the end of the week.
Thanks, Sophie.
Listen, George. Maybe you ought to go back and finish school.
Me? With all those kids?
You can go at night when older people go.
Well, I'll think about it.
Sure. Something else, George. Think about what you want to make of yourself. Where are you going, George?
Well, I helped you with the supper dishes, didn't I?
I'm not complaining, just asking.
Out. I'm going out for some fresh air.
Last night you came home after 12. Where were you?
Well, I like to walk. I was walking.
Walking? But where?
I sat in the park for a while.
Till midnight?
Sophie, you ask all these questions. You're only my sister.
Not your mother, no. If Mama was alive, then... Or if Papa talked to you, explain to you what's going...
What should I say to him, Sophie?
You're his father. Talk to him like a father.
Why don't you mind your own business?
Whose business is it if not mine?
Don't fight, Sophie, please.
Who's fighting?
Two children alone without a mother in the house. Don't fight.
There's a father in the house. He's your son, Papa. Do you ask where he's going? Do you tell him that's not how a boy should do? No. No, you just sit there as if you don't care. As if you don't have a father's feelings.
Feelings? Everybody has feelings, Sophie, even me. But when it comes to words, like Mama used to say, if I was drowning, I wouldn't even holler for help. Must be getting late.
It's 9 o'clock, Pop.
You know, I think I'd like to take a little rest on the sofa.
Go to bed, Papa. It's late enough for you.
Well, maybe you're right. Good night, Sophie.
George?
You can lock the door, Sophie. I have a key.
You're a man now. You have a key. Where are you going, George? Out.
How's your father doing, George?
Okay, I guess.
That's good. Tell him I asked for it.
You find a job yet, George?
Not yet.
As if I didn't know.
Don't stand there. You're blocking the light from the store window. Can't you see I'm trying to read my paper? Oh, it's you.
Hello, Mr. Catanzaro.
Boy, you squirts grow up fast. Seems to me it was only the other day I used to give you nickels to buy raspberry ice.
Lemon ice.
Every man to his taste. Do you ever read a newspaper, George?
Sure, lots of times.
I mean a real one, like this. Not those picture papers.
Well...
Don't believe it, George. He never said it.
Who?
Confucius. One picture is worth 1,000 words. Don't believe it. It's not true.
Okay, if you say so.
Don't let me keep you if you're going someplace.
Oh, I was only going to the park. Sit on a bench where there's trees and flowers.
Yeah, a real nature lover.
Yeah.
What do you do when you get tired of smelling the flowers?
Oh, I think about a lot of things.
What kind of things? Or is it none of my business?
Oh, I don't mind telling you, Mr. Catanzaro. I think how someday I'd like to have a good job. Live in a private house with a porch and street with trees. Have some dough in my pocket to buy things.
And a girl? No girl.
Oh, sure. Sure, somebody to go out with, especially on Saturday nights.
And those are the things you think about?
That's right, Mr. Catanzaro.
I'll tell you something, George. That's not thinking. It's not even dreaming. It's nothing. Just plain nothing.
You just watch how you drive.
You could have been killed, Mr. Catanzaro.
Give me a hand
sure.
up, George.
Yeah, here.
Thanks.
Sure.
If you were still a kid, I'd give you a nickel to buy a raspberry ice.
Hey, it was lemon ice.
You think I'm drunk, huh?
Gee, it's all right, Mr. Catanzaro.
I just had a few beers, that's all. You know how to tell when I'm drunk? Well, do you?
No.
I walk real stiff and careful. And another thing. My eyes are wet when I'm drunk. That's how you can tell. Man's entitled to a few beers once in a while with a job like mine. You know what I do?
Sure. You work in a change booth in the subway.
A change booth. A little smaller than a prison cell and a little bigger than a coffin. You walking around in the daytime now?
Oh, well, I'm waiting for a job.
Waiting?
Well, I'm staying home, but I'm reading a lot to pick up my education.
Oh, that's good, George. What are you reading?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain.
I've understood some hard things in my time.
Well, it's like this.
Huh?
I got a list of books in the library once. Yeah, that's it. Now I'm gonna read them this summer.
How many books are there on this list?
Oh, well, I never counted them. Maybe around 100. Yeah, I figured if I did that, it'd help me in my education, you know?
It would. It would.
Well, I don't mean the kind of education they give you in high school. I want to know different things than they learn there, if you know what I mean.
Still in all, 100 books is a pretty big load for one summer.
Well, it might take longer.
After you're finished with some, maybe you and I can shoot the breeze about it. Huh?
Well, yeah. Yeah, sure, after I'm finished.
You're not too busy to talk for a minute in an evening?
I guess not.
The summer's half over. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
That's nice. Very nice. You're a good boy, George.
Me? I mean, thanks.
I like to see a young man trying to better himself.
Pile the dishes in the sink, George. I'll wash them.
Oh, but Sophie, I thought I'd...
No. You're doing enough now. You know what it proves?
What?
If a person makes a plan for himself, a big plan, he somehow finds time for smaller things as well.
What did I do?
You think I didn't notice you mopped the floor?
Oh. Well, it looked so full of mud and all.
Oh, that's a little thing. I appreciate it, you understand. But the important thing is your summer's reading.
How did you know about that?
The whole neighborhood knows. Only why did you keep it a secret from me and Papa?
Well, I don't know.
Not that it matters. We don't mind, do we, Papa?
I said it, Sophie. A good boy. You see? If only you believe.
Oh, look at him hanging his head as if he was ashamed.
It's nothing, Sophie.
No, it's something. George, I was thinking... A young fellow should have a few pennies in his pocket when he goes out. Here.
Dollars, Sophie.
I was paid today. I'll tell you what. We'll make it a dollar every payday.
Oh, I'll pay you back. I promise.
You don't have to. Call it an allowance.
As soon as I get a job, I'll pay it back. I really will.
If you want to. You know, it's true what Papa said. If you believe in yourself, other people also believe. George, we're proud of you.
The ball just cleared the left field fence. It's over for a home run. And that wraps up the ball game. The final score was...
They shouldn't have lost that game. Two runs ahead in the ninth.
The role of the home in a world of fear and insecurity, in a world of cold war, of atomic threats, of space missiles and...
Why do I have to wash the breakfast dishes now?
Senior, it's more than a week, I guess, huh? What do you want, cigarette?
Yeah, cigarette.
Here you are. You don't do so much walking these nights, do you?
I walk some.
You must be pretty busy. Only 3 weeks left of the summer.
That's right.
Mr. Catanzaro was asking for you. Come to think of it, he thought he saw you last night.
He did?
Yeah, funny thing, you were walking down the street and all of a sudden you crossed to the other side.
That's what he said?
Yeah. But he said it couldn't have been you. Must have been somebody with your build.
Excuse me, I have to go now.
Yeah, I guess he's right. Why should you walk away from an old friend like Mr. Catanzara?
Well, George, aren't you going to cross the street this time?
Hello, Mr. Catanzara.
I'm glad you didn't cross. You know why?
No.
Because I got something for you.
Yeah.
Here's a nickel, Georgie. Go buy yourself a lemon ice.
Mr. Catanzara, it's not that time anymore. I'm a big guy now.
No, you ain't. You say something?
No.
Take a good look at me, boy. I'm walking real careful, see? My eyes are wet and I smell like the inside of a beer barrel. I'm drunk, all right. But you listen to me. Drunk or sober, you don't look like a big guy to me. What do you say to that?
Nothing. I don't say anything at all.
No? Well, then maybe you'll answer a question.
If I can.
Oh, you can answer this one. Tell me, George, how are all your books coming along, huh?
Fine, I guess.
You guess? You ain't sure?
Well, sure, I'm sure. They're fine.
Maybe you better not look me in the eyes. George, name me one book on that list that you read this summer, and I'll drink to your health.
I don't want anybody drinking to me.
Name me one so I can ask you a question. Who can tell? If it's a good book, maybe I might want to read it myself, hmm? It's no use closing your eyes, George. When you open them again, I'll still be here. Where are you going, George? George, don't do what I did.
George, those magazines and newspapers I bring home, I saw they're piled up in your room.
You want them, Sophie?
What for? I finished them. You don't read them anymore.
I guess not.
Oh, I suppose it's because of all the other reading you have to do. Well, what's the matter with him? What did I say, that he should run to his room and close the door?
He's a boy, Sophie. He's tired, maybe.
Tired? Does he carry crates on his back like you? What did I say? George, what's the matter? Answer me.
Nothing's the matter.
Well, then come out of there. I want to talk to you. Did you hear what I said?
Leave him, Sophie.
Will you talk to him? Will you? All right, then. I'll handle it.
A little piece. It's a family, after all.
Open the door. Do you hear?
Leave me alone.
What are you doing in there?
Nothing.
Listen, George, I don't care about those magazines. It's your summer's reading that I'm...
Shut up!
Your summer's reading, George. I never see any books in your room. How is it I never see any? Where do you keep the books you read? Are you going to tell me? Are you gonna tell me?
I won't!
You're not worth a buck of my hard-earned money. Why should I break my back for you? Go on out, you bum, and get a job! Supper is ready, George. I know you sneak into the kitchen in the daytime when nobody's home. You might as well come out. It's 3 days now, George. How long are you going to stay in your room? You can can rot there for all I care, but let me tell you something. You can't hide forever. You talk to him, Papa. He won't listen to me.
Please. My son, please.
George. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, please open the door and come out.
At least if he answered, Sophie.
I'm going to tell you something, George. You have to believe it. All right, you lied to me, to Papa, but it's over. Finished. And the people on the block, they'll forget soon. Do you hear me, George? God. You're a walking skeleton.
I can't breathe in there. There's no air left in the room. I have to go out to breathe the air.
George, I want to ask you something.
No, I can't. I'm in a hurry.
A minute, that's all. Tell me, is it true you finished reading so many books?
You saw Mr. Catanzara?
I see him every day. Well, did you?
He didn't tell you?
He's not the only one who knows. It's true, then. You finished. Oh, you should be proud. It's a wonderful thing for a boy your age to read so much.
It's after midnight.
Oh, smell the air, George. Do you notice anything?
Yeah, it's good.
It's different, George. The end of summer is in the air.
The story ends with summer's end, but the seasons of the soul do not flow in sequence, like points in time. And so the end turns on itself to begin again, one evening in fall.
What can I do for you, young man?
So many books.
Naturally, this is a library.
Is it all right if I look at them?
Of course. That's why they're here.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Are you planning to count all the books in the library?
Just 100, ma'am.
But you can't borrow 100 books at once.
No, ma'am. I thought I'd read them. One at a time.
These are the words of the book of Job. There is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Yet through the scent of water it will bud, and put forth boughs like a plant. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. I. Edward Kiev, librarian of the Hebrew Union College, Jewish Institute of Religion, and associate editor of the Jewish Book Annual, Dr. Kiev.
The universal pleasure of reading books exists wherever people are aware of civilization. Whether books are read for relaxation, for amusement, or for escape, or most frequently for the enrichment of the mind and the soul, we know that good books are not merely luxuries of life. They do become the very sustenance of life. the scriptures of the world's great religions emerged above other writings whose thought, subject matter, form, or expression transmit to all of us the values we call abiding truth, greatness, inspiration, or beauty. From generation to generation, the big and the small in our midst have found our libraries the source of riches without measure. How pleasant it is to recall the joy of a child's first discovery of immense treasure upon receiving and using his first library card. Then within the library walls, one remembers the very processes of growing up as the sections become familiar with every step on the road to maturity. Today, the wide appeal of the good book is made manifest on land, on the sea, and in the air. We know that reading is more than seeing words on the pages of a book. The experience combines the knowledge of great thinkers with the magic of the creative mind, weaving life and people into a story. It is history. It is ideas, it is hope. It is the urge to communicate with all of humanity and to help transform the essence of an idea into action for the good and beautiful and true purpose of living. In our own tradition, the book and the author have a very special place of honor. Rooted in the Hebrew word sefer, book is also the sofer, the author, and also Sipur, the story. Within the Sifriya, the library, the reader joins all these elements, and the magnetic field becomes a living force. Americans are indebted to the libraries and librarians of the country who patiently and generously make available the wealth of literature and thought of the world to our people throughout the land, who are eager in their desire to understand themselves and their neighbors everywhere by increasing their knowledge through more and better reading. The modern libraries provide us with this opportunity to attract the reader and disseminate good books for the enjoyment of literature by all.
Thank you, Dr. Kiev. Our Eternal Light drama today, A Summer's Reading, was written by Joseph Mindell, adapted from the story A Summer's Reading in the book The Magic Barrel by Bernard Malamud, published by Farrar, Straus, and Cudahy. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were William Mason as George, Joan Lazer as Sophie, Joseph Boland as Mr. Catanzara, and Lou Sorin as Papa. Others in the cast were Amy Sedell and Merrill Joels. Our narrator was Norman Rose. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.